Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright.
Hello, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay from the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual and now transgender man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during this broadcast or afterwards, send me a note. Bonkaye at AOL.com, and I'll be happy to respond to you. Tonight I have a special guest back for with us, and I say she's special because she is. Susan's been part of this network for a number of years. She's been a tremendous help to me as far as letting people understand the situation. She knows how to articulate all the aspects that we all go through. She was kind enough to write for one of our Straight Wives book. She's there as a source of support for everyone, and especially me. My downtime, Susan's my go-to person that I can always count on who will be there. And she's just, like I say, a wonderful person. I'm very blessed to have met her through our network. So, Susan, welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you for having me, Bonnie, and oh my gosh, ditto, talking about a special person. I'm sure that I can chime in along with so many other people who were lucky enough to have found you through one way or another. And, you know, it sounds dramatic, but you're a lifesaver, truly, in so many ways. So many women that you have been brought up and have been able to help them get on with their lives and live a really good life after going through this, for, I don't know, lack of a better word, debacle. I don't know what else to call it other than a debacle.
Debacle and disgusting and debilitating and with all the D words we can think of.
Yeah,
but,
derailing.
Right?
We could, there's probably there's probably about, you know, 100 words we could use to describe it. But the bottom line is, for the women involved in this situation, it is a it's challenging at best. It's really a hard thing. And I think it's just something that nobody grows up thinking they're ever going to have to go through that. If you're blindsided, it's not something that you ever thought you would be blindsided with. So there's nobody that's prepared for it, that even knows where to turn or what to do. And they feel so alone because who else could know about this? Who else understands? And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to learn about it, accept it, to move on. And I know we talked about, there's so many different aspects of this we could talk about tonight, but I think obviously the most important one, the hardest part of it, and the most important one is how do you get on with your life after this? How do you have a light at the end of the tunnel? How do you even see it to start out with, right? And then how do you end up walking towards it in a really good way? Because a lot of women come out of this and they do really well. They do better than they ever would have done, obviously staying in the marriage. And some really never get over it and never fulfill their potential, you know, being alive and being on this planet. They've been victimized and they sort of stay in that position for the rest of their lives, and they really don't know how to get out of it. And it's really not their fault that they don't know, because again, there's no training, there's no, you know, and it's not as though we get a lot of support even from our closest friends or family, because they don't get it. They don't understand it. They just say, why don't you get over this? This is not a big deal. You know, you hear all the trite things such as, well, at least it wasn't another woman, or, well, you know,
can we just address that for a minute, Susan, because that came
up
in our support group this week, where somebody, you know, wrote in saying that a friend of hers said, well, it's a terrible thing that happened to you, but at least he didn't leave you for another woman. And I think I would have felt better if he left me for a man, because that wouldn't hurt nearly as much. And, of course, when all of us read this, and I don't think one person commented in that direction, everyone said that's ridiculous and how much more this hurts. Can you explain to people why this is more of a betrayal than just normal betrayal?
Well, first of all, there's the assumption made that when a man leaves the marriage, the assumption is made right off the bat by making that comment, at least it was another woman. The assumption is made that somehow it's the woman's fault. Anytime a man leaves the marriage, it's a woman's fault. And I'm going to use my word for it, that's bullshit. And it's completely unfair, it's misogynistic, it's sexist, and it's just plain wrong. It doesn't matter whether they leave you for a man or whether they leave you for a woman. A person who leaves a marriage is not leaving for anything other than to serve their own needs. That's just what it is. And so whether it's man for a man or whether it's for women, women have to stop blaming themselves as though they had power over another human being to make them be who they wanted them to be and to make them stay in a situation they didn't want to stay in. It could be a fantastic situation. They still didn't want it. But very specifically addressing your question, again, as long as it was for another man, that means that I can alleviate responsibility as it not being my fault because I'm not another man. I don't have their sexual organs. I don't have their sexual chemistry. I don't have their masculinity, their testosterone, their whatever it is that makes a man attracted to another man. I can't be that, therefore it's not my fault, right? So therefore it's easier. And that's what everybody and their mother is going to believe, right? I have two sisters, that's what they believe. I have friends that what they believe. Everybody in my world, and even some to this day, even after I've explained this 150,000 times how wrong they are, they still don't get it. Okay, so the first thing right off the bat is, if a man leaves a woman for another woman, and honestly doesn't mean there was anything wrong with their wife, men are creatures that are going to always be attracted to something new, something different that chase. And we've all known there's one celebrity or singer or movie star or whatever after another that are the most gorgeous women on the planet, successful. They have a lot of money. They've got fantastic bodies. All these things that women, of course, beat themselves up for not being ever enough of, right? And they still get cheated on, and their men still leave them. We have to really take a step back and understand, man, and I'm getting off on a little tangent here, and I apologize, so I'll pull myself back in with a hook in a second here. But men, we have to understand what makes men men. And once we understand what makes men men, and especially a narcissistic man who a disproportionate number of our gay, bisexual, trans, whatever they are, non-straight husbands are, once we understand that, we realize we were pretty much in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it honestly has nothing to do with us personally. And we take a hit for it when we shouldn't be taking a hit for it. Very specifically, why it can be worse for to be in a situation where he leaves for another man is that pretty much means we lived an entire life of fraud with this man. If you live a life with a straight man, say you live a life with a straight man for 20 years and then he leaves you for another woman, devastating, awful, debilitating, the betrayal is some of the, you know, the most greatest amount of hurt that you can feel in your life other than maybe the loss of a child, which, of course, you know all too well. It's really, really hurtful. But to know that what you had was never real, that he never loved you the way that we would hope heterosexuals couples love each other, that he never looked at you in an attraction or a sexual way, a way we want a man to look at us as a heterosexual woman. When we realize that all of this was based upon a house of cards, you didn't just lose your husband when he left, you know, 6 months ago, but hey, you can look back and go, oh, we had some really good years. You have to question all of those years. I remember vividly saying to my husband, his name is Matt, and I'd say, Matt, you tell me which of my memories do I get to keep and which do I have to throw away? And he didn't even know how to answer that question, because our memories and our experiences with someone is based upon who we think they are and who what we think we have. And when you find out that he's not that person and that's not what you have, that is, well, I apologize for this term, but let's just call it what it is. It's a serious mind fuck. You don't know, even know what to do. You don't know what. And people would say, oh, but you still have the memories. I go, no, you don't understand. You might have a memory that you took a trip to wherever. You took a trip to Florida. Let's just invent that, okay? You took a trip to Florida. Okay, you have that memory. Oh, you saw this. Okay, that's fine. But knowing that you were with a stranger, you look back and you go, I didn't even know who he was. And then some people have corrected me and say, well, who somebody is not just their sexuality. It's all of these other things. I'll say, but what you don't understand is when you're trying to hide who you are, which is a very big deal, you're hiding a lot of yourself. It's not as though it's just that small little sex part, and it's not small, by the way, but that part, and everything else makes you normal of who you would be regardless of your sexual orientation. A lot of our sexual orientation makes us who we are. It's how we view the world. It's how we view so not just other people, but how we view the world in general. So when someone you discover has a different sexual orientation than you ever thought they had, it means in what has happened in what you have thought this person is not who they are. And I know that sounds very dramatic, but it's a very, very big deal. If these people are walking through their life trying to hide who they are, every day they're trying to hide who they are from you, that's a big deal. That's a very big deal that a man who wasn't trying to hide himself and maybe the last few years he started having an affair. By the way, that's debilitating, and I do not want to take that away from everybody because that is flat out horribly derailing for a woman, for a man too, when his wife has an affair. That type of betrayal is gut-wrenching, and I had that myself as well. It's very, very difficult, but not knowing who you were married to, and I think you're the one who said it so well a few years ago. I think it was one of our calls or something like that. It's a difference of maybe not knowing what you're living in, but not knowing who you're married to is a whole different ballgame. It's really frightening in a way to not know who you're married to. It's creepy. It's really kind of creepy going, who was that next to me every night? Who was that? What was he thinking when he looked at me? What was he thinking when he looked at me naked? The times we did have sex, when I would go think back upon that, It makes me sick to my stomach. What was he thinking when we were doing that? Was he disgusted by the side of my body? Was he thinking about someone else? It just goes on and on and on and on. So I could give people probably 100
Let's talk for a minute, Susan, about the sexual debilitation. Because to me, this is the greatest crime of all, that when these men steal from you, which is a God-given gift of your, you know, female sexuality, and they turn you into a sexual mutant because you're afraid to say anything because of the sexual rejection. And, you know, like I tell the gay men that I work with, you know, you don't think it's a big deal, but you have a boyfriend now. And if your boyfriend said to you, don't touch me, you smell, you're too fat, I don't want to have sex with you, how would that make you feel? And, you know, I have to bring it close to home for them to understand what they've done to their wives. Because they feel like they were there for them, they supported them, they were a good support system for them. They are clueless. They just think that showing up and not doing anything, you know, just saying, I have a wife, is good enough. And it never is, because these men mentally peel us down. They take away our self-esteem, our self-worth, our sexual esteem for sure. They turn us into zombies, questioning ourselves why they gaslight us all the time. They're always questioning, did I see it? Did I not see it? He's telling me no. I was sure I saw it. You know, when they're living their lives, they're dragging us into their lives. Am I right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's not even the sexual part. It's really horrible. And like you say, it's very debilitating. It turns you into a zombie. You end up hating yourself. What's wrong with me? You look in the mirror. My husband doesn't want to touch me. So obviously there's something wrong with me, because you hear about how men can't keep their hands off their wives, and wives are having to push their husbands off and going, oh my God, he wants sex again. And then, so you get married and you don't have that. Well, this is the way it's supposed to be. So what's wrong with me? Right. So of course you just feel terrible about yourself. But you know, I really, you know, have given this so much deep thought over the years that I've had to deal with this. So if a man really doesn't want to have to marry a woman, but he feels like he's so much forced to, maybe it's just society in general, it's his family of origin, it's his religion, he's doing what he thinks is the right thing, whatever it is he's doing to hide himself, okay? And there's a million reasons for it, but they do it. So maybe he doesn't touch his wife sexually, but do you think he's actually treating her well in all the other ways, when every time he looks at his wife and she is a representation of what he doesn't want and what he has to put up with against his will to get through life? Do you think he's actually treating her well in a loving, kind way? Do you think he ever has her best interest at heart out of the bedroom either? No. He's putting up with her, and he probably looks at his wife, most of them, not all, I'm not going to categorize all of them, but probably most of them look at their wives on a daily basis with great disdain. Again, she's a representation of what he doesn't want. That's awful.
Like my ex-husband used to say to me all the time, he felt trapped. They feel like we're trapping them when they're the ones who trapped us into that marriage.
Right. They knew what they were doing when they got married. I didn't know I was married. I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but they did. I know a lot of them will say, oh, I wasn't sure I was gay. I think that's a bunch of baloney. I think they absolutely know. People know what they are attracted to. They don't choose it. I mean, I had this discussion with a girlfriend the other day who was talking about, I have a very religious girlfriend who still is under the mindset that people choose to be gay, and I just, and at my wit's end with it, you know. And I said to her, I said, you know, when did you first look at a boy and have a little crush on a boy? And she said, oh, I don't know, fourth grade. I said, did you choose that, or did you just look across the classroom and go, oh, that little Johnny, he's so cute, oh, and every time he walks in the door, your little heart goes pity patter? Did you ever choose that? Absolutely not. So someone who is gay doesn't choose it any more than you do. It was a little boy who also looked across the room at Johnny and said, ooh, Johnny is so cute. He just felt the same thing for Johnny that you did. He didn't choose it. And then he started getting the messaging that this isn't right. This might be a sin, depending upon obviously where he grew up, right, how he grew up and with his family and his schools or whatever, his friends. But he didn't choose it any more than you did. right? He didn't choose any more than you did. But then after he went through life, he had to sort of not talk about it and then try to not think about it. But I do believe that pretty close to a darn 100% of them, the day they got married, they knew they were gay. They were just trying not to be. Either they thought I could get married and it would be a cover, she could be a good beard and I could go along and have my dallyings on the side, or I get married her and start having sex with her, then maybe I won't want the other and I'll get used to having sex with women. Whatever the reasoning is, they walk down the aisle knowing they're attracted to men. They know they're attracted to men, and those that say, I didn't know it, I think they're flat out lying because they don't want to be that. They just don't want to be that person, and they're embarrassed. They feel shame, you know, whatever it is. So in my opinion, they knew what they were doing when they walked down the aisle. We didn't. And so they victimized us, and we can't stay in that victim role for very long because it'll hurt us our rest of our lives. We have to get out of it. But they did victimize us and put us into a role or a position that we had no idea we were signing up for. Completely unfair.
Well, that part is true, too. Everything you say about that is true. But I do feel in my heart that they know they have sexual attractions to men. And one of the things mm-hmm. you can say to your friend, by the way, the next time you have this conversation, say to her that if you had to, let's say there was a gun to your head, say, could you marry a woman? You know, can you fall in love and marry a woman, have sex with a woman? And if they say, I would never do that. Did you try that one?
I did say it, only in a different way. And it wasn't about being married, but I just flat out, and this is a conversation I had with her yesterday. I said, have you ever thought about going down on another woman? Have you ever thought about that? She goes, oh, God, no. I said, bingo. Did anybody tell you that, or is that just something that came naturally, like it wouldn't occur to you in a million years? And her answer was, it wouldn't occur to me in a million years. I go, well, congratulations that you got to be heterosexual when other people don't, right? They didn't choose it any more than you do. I mean, there's probably been plenty. She's a beautiful woman, my friend. I'm sure there's been plenty of gay women attracted to her. I said, have you ever been attracted to a woman? She said, no, never. I said, again, you didn't choose that. Gay people are not choosing it either. But she's also quite religious. So she, you know, absolutely believes that being gay is wrong and they're going to go to hell and all that. And, you know, I have these discussions with her where I just say, do you not understand that this is the attitude that perpetuate these men marrying women and getting these women into these situations? Because if you're telling a man he's going to go to hell, because this is not what Jesus wants, which I think is just, I can't even get started on that. Believe me, that sends me through the roof. It's just ridiculous. But she believes it. When you send messages to other people that what they feel naturally is going to cause them to go to hell, they're going to do everything in their power not to go to hell. You are making them live a fake life. You are making them try to cover up who they are. And she and her attitude is, well, they can just not get married to a woman, just never have sex with anybody ever. I said, that is not even biologically possible. I mean, on a biological level, we're programmed sexually. It's part of who we are as creatures, right, as animals. We are biologically given a sex drive. Just because it's not to the same sex doesn't mean you don't have a strong enough drive. And, again, it's nice for you to say I'm heterosexual, so I get to have sex. But you're telling somebody who's gay, who has this sexual attraction to same sex, but it's not okay for you. So what if somebody told you from the get-go with a strong sex drive, because she had one at one time, she's a little bit older now and it's not as strong as it used to be, but she used to have a super strong sex. What if somebody told you, you have this overwhelming sex drive, but you don't get to do anything about it? What? So it's completely unfair, but it is this type of behavior that is drives these people underground and drives these men to marry women and to cover up for it because they believe it's the only way they're going to be able to get through life. And so, you know, someday when they have, you know, progressed and decide they can come out for whatever reason, well, bully for you, what you've left in your wake, though, is a woman whose life you have hijacked to save your own. She cannot undo all of those years that she has lost having been married to you. And she doesn't just start the next day after the day you walk out on her for a man, or however you walk out to whomever you walk out. She doesn't start the next day with this fresh new life thinking great things about herself. It can take her years of hard work just to scrape herself together again to get out and live a semi-normal life again. And a lot of women do go on to get married again, but I would have to – I'm going to say that probably the bulk of them don't, because they don't even know how to navigate that. They don't even know who they're supposed to trust. They don't even trust themselves because they blame themselves for, well, why didn't I know he was gay? What was wrong with me that I attracted a gay man, number one, right? And you know, Bonnie, that some of these women attract another gay man all over again, don't they? For whatever
all over.
Reason.
Second time around, third time around. And, I mean, we even
yeah.
had one of our group members. It was so horrifying that after she left her husband for, you know, she had some kind of sexually transmitted disease from him, from his gay activities. And she was a very religious Christian woman. And, mm-hmm. you know, so to her, this was really unbelievable that this could happen. She couldn't even understand the whole concept. But, you know, she
yeah.
finally got wise after we, you know, told her everything. But
yeah.
it was on ChristianMatch.com. You know,
oh,
I went on a dating service to meet another woman because they feel
right.
like when they're Christians, and, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I've heard this from my Christian friends, that a lot of these Christian girls are not that worldly. They haven't had much experience because they have high morals.
Right.
In other words, they're not going to act on anything until after their marriage, so
right.
until they get
right.
married. So they don't know
right.
the difference. So, like, if a guy is just being nice and not touching her, like, she thinks he's being respectful and a Christian. So it's easy to
right.
draw women in like that. And a lot of our women were like that. A lot of our women,
yeah.
you know, came from religious upbringings. So they thought when a guy wasn't all over their body, he was loving her for her and just being respectful.
Right.
And that's
right.
a part
oh, yeah.
of the
I mean,
attention
he,
and
yeah.
the draw, right?
Well, certainly as a Christian woman, that's the catch, right? Oh, I've got a catch of a guy. He hasn't even tried anything on me. He's such a
mm-hmm.
good Christian. This is, oh, I really got a good one here. Absolutely. Many of them are gullible that way. Absolutely. Many of them are gullible. And, of course, and certainly you can't pigeonhole Christians for this, because you could say the same thing about Mormons. And actually, quite honestly, I would have to say that the bulk of religions around the planet don't view being gay in a positive way. And
mm-hmm.
Their religions don't approve of someone who's being gay. That they again, I'm not saying all, but most believe that you're supposed to be heterosexual and you're supposed to get married and you're supposed to procreate. That those are the basic tenets of most
well,
religions
believe that
around
it's against God's will. And I even have,
right.
you know, Orthodox. The Orthodox are like fundamentalist Jewish, you know, relatives.
Right,
I'm not
right.
one of them, but I do have relatives. And my one cousin, you know, who is gay, had to leave
yeah.
the community, which was a very big
right.
step, because they were so ingrained in that community. That's how they grew up. That's what they learned.
Yeah.
But they can't
yeah.
accept homosexuality. So when my cousin tried to talk to them about it, tried to explain, you know, they said, well, we really care about
yeah.
you, but you can't be gay. So he had no other choice but to leave. So people, you know, like I
yeah,
said, it doesn't matter what your religion
it.
Is.
Yeah.
You know, it's always going to be looked down on. And even though some religions are a little more, you know, progressive, some of the Protestant religions, you know, are more accepting.
Yeah, but
it's still society
it
as a whole is not
growing.
Accepting, and it's never going to be.
No, it's not. It's not. And, you know, I live in California, so when I have discussions about this with people, you know, we live in this little bubble in California where most of our cities are fairly progressive and being gay is accepted and it's okay. And the assumption is made that the rest of the world is like that, and it is not. I mean, you can go two states over into Utah, and this is not happening. You know, I mean, definitely it's getting better in the Mormon religion, that more families are being more accepting, et cetera. But there's still a stigma. Unfortunately, a lot of gay people have left the Mormon Church for that very reason. But, you know, that's another reason why, or things that I talk about with anybody, you know, because I have this discussion with lots of people, because I try to help as many people as I can through this on whatever end. I mean, I've had a lot of discussions with gay men getting ready to marry a woman who I've sat him down and had a discussion with him about how debilitating this is. But, you know, going back to the whole, you know, are you born this way or do you choose this? Given the fact that the bulk of the world still does not look upon somebody who's gay as being a favorable situation, why would anybody choose to be one of the most hated populations on our planet? Why would anybody choose
exactly
to be a member of that? They wouldn't choose that because it's very difficult. And I don't have a gay child. My older sister has a gay child. I know a lot of people with gay children. And when they accept their children, but when they say that they wish their child wasn't gay and I ask them why, the bulk of them say, not because I think there's anything wrong with it. Not that I think there's anything sinful about it. It's because I know my child is now a member of a group that's hated by other people. And I don't want my child to be hated by other people. I don't want them to have to go through life wondering who likes them or who doesn't like them just because of their sexual orientation. So it's still out there. We still have a lot of headway to make worldwide in gay people being accepted. We've made progress, but we're not there, and we're not going to be there for a very long time to get to the place where a gay man is not going to feel like he has to marry a woman to cover up who he is. We have a long ways to go. So,
let me ask
unfortunately,
you a question,
your work is never going to be done, Bonnie.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to carry it on, Susan. But anyway, the thing is that I think another aspect of this, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. A lot of times men who are heterosexual feel very threatened by gay men. And so they're constantly picking on them or making them feel inferior. I mean, I see that a lot, people making fun of gay men, even though there's no reason to, you know, even though people are more progressive now. But they do.
Right.
And they're still bullied just based on their sexuality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's always going to be an issue. But as I say to gay men, look, and you'll say the same thing, you had a choice. You knew when you got into this marriage that there was something off, something wasn't right, whether it's just that you had attractions or you had fantasies. And I will grant it that not every gay man getting married knows that he's, I'll put the label gay on him, but they know they have male attractions. So if they think, and many of them do, if I get married, that's going to change, and those fantasies will go away, and now I'll be a married man. That's everything I always wanted, a house, a wife, children, respectability, acceptance in my community. Mm-hmm. And they know they may have an attraction, but they don't necessarily feel it's gay. And that's why I always say that if men were born, or gay people were born with a G on their foot, where they say, oh, I'm gay, I have a G, and there's no question about it, I'm gay, it would be easier. But because homosexuality creeps up on you in different times, different places, some men know by the time they're 7 years old or 5 years old, I am gay. Other people, they're in their 30s, and they still don't even know it for sure because those attractions start creeping up because they don't all come at the same time. But my point is that once you know it, and once you're acting on it, let's go one step beyond it. Once you know it and once you're acting on it, you need to tell your wife. You don't have to leave her hanging there wondering what she's doing wrong in the marriage. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, there's a big price to pay by doing that. And he could lose his entire life. He could lose custody.
Exactly.
He's going to lose his wife. He'll probably lose his house. He's going to lose half his income. There's a lot to lose in opening up to his wife about that, because probably the bulk of wives won't stick around. Some do, as we know, for a variety of reasons. But there's a potential very big loss by coming clean with the information, and he's just not going to want to do that. He's just not going to want to do that. And so he's going to try to stick it out as long as he can and live this life on the side as long as he can until she finds out some way or another, you know, he slips up or he falls in love with a man and decides, I'm willing to deal with all of this loss over here in order to gain that over there. I mean, it's different, I'm sure, for every man, and some men don't ever want to come out, don't ever want to tell their wives. They want to just be able to have their cake and eat it too, meaning live their life over here, like you say, so they can live this, you know, allegedly respectable life, or more respectable life, at least in their own minds, and maybe their family or friends, whatever, the city, their religion, whatever culture they're in, you know, what have you, and then just go sleep with men on the side. But the problem with living a life like that, where you're living this secretive life, is that eventually it comes out. You just can't lie and keep secrets for that long. People are human and they slip up. Or she starts to suspect, as the bulk of our women do when we talk to the bulk of the women in the group, right, or just talking out there to women who are married to gay men, their husbands could be doing a stellar job of hiding who they are, meaning their dalliance is on the side, and they're doing a very good job lying about it. But the women know that something is off in a very, very major way. It's not just, oh, he's not having sex with me. There's this, and this is what I got from one of the first books I read of yours, gosh, probably 10 years ago now, was I had this feeling of something being dramatically off for years, but I couldn't put my finger on what it was. But it was something that was off. And I knew that there was a sexual thing going on, but this off part had more to do with just the sexuality. And so women will, even when he's doing a good job and he hasn't been caught sleeping with another man or caught texting sexual things, romantic things, or God only knows what they do, right, with other men, men know there's something right. very, women know there's something very, very wrong and very off in their marriage. And they start to pursue that. This is what happened in my marriage, as I just knew that something wasn't right, and I started questioning him what was going on. And of course, he didn't want to confess what it was. He would have never done that because he didn't want to come out. He didn't want the world to know. I think his family. Now, I think I know his Southern Baptist family would have flat out disowned him completely. He wasn't allowed.
I hope you don't mind me saying this, but it's true. You know. I've met you a number of times already. I've been very lucky to do that. And Susan is a beautiful woman. She's like model quality. I mean, if anybody was going to catch a guy's eye, it's going to be Susan. Let's tell the truth.
Oh, my.
Well, you are. And so any straight man would be thrilled to be with you. You're beautiful. You're smart. You're compassionate. You're understanding. You have it all, your full package there. So for someone to belittle you so much year in and year out, and also, since I'm being honest, you and I were both married before this marriage. You know,
right,
this is not our
right.
first rodeo, as they say. So we
right.
have been in bad marriages before. That's obviously why we came out of them. But they were different bad, right?
Oh, completely different. There was definitely no comparison. And getting into the marriage with the gay man, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you should have known the difference, right? And I've told the story before that after I had gotten out of a really bad marriage and had just a series of relationships that didn't go well, you know, I was unfortunately always seemed to be attracted to narcissistic men, whatever. The therapist that I went to told me that the man that I needed to really look for would be a man that I thought was boring. He might not be as good in bed. I wouldn't have the same attraction to him, but he would be the steady Eddie kind of guy. He would be the nice guy. And so when I did meet my gay husband and he didn't like let my world on fire sexually, I just went back to what that therapist had said over and over again, that the guy that would be good for me might be flat out boring and sex might be actually very mundane. It didn't occur to me that it would be mundane because the guy was gay. That didn't occur to me, mm-hmm. right? So I didn't identify that when I was dating him. And we had sex before we got married and it was very mundane, but I thought, well, he seems to be a nice guy and he's very stable. And I had two children from my first marriage and he seemed to very much like them and kind of go with the flow of the family. And I just thought he was this really good guy. It would have never occurred to me in a million years that he was gay. And that was the reason for it being mundane. So you can have sexual experience with other men prior to meeting the gay man, but there could be a litany of reasons why you think how he behaves in that different manner is okay, that it wouldn't occur to you that it's because he's gay. It could be that you're just not attracted to him on the same level, right? That passionate attraction, which doesn't last very long anyway. You just didn't have that to start out with, and that's okay. And at that point in my life, I was willing to accept that because I had had my heart broken so many times. I had been cheated on so many times by these men. I mean, I dated a lot of really good-looking, very charismatic men that every other woman on the planet wanted. So I don't know why I thought I was special, because I certainly wasn't. And men that are used to having that kind of adoration from women, they don't give that up because they get married. They don't give that up because they're dating, well, supposedly they're supposed to be in a committed relationship, but obviously they're not. They don't give that up. The male ego can't. The male ego loves that, and they're going to always want that. So the woman who thinks, I got lucky and I got the guy, right? I got the good-looking guy, or I got the, I don't know, I dated a couple of professional baseball players at one time, whatever. Okay, you might be the chosen one for about a minute, but trust me, it lasts a minute, and then he's choosing somebody else because they just love that adoration. So again, when I found the gay guy, didn't know he was gay, and he wasn't a womanizer, again, I thought I had it made, the same way that maybe the Christian woman who gets the guy that isn't all over her, isn't trying to tear her clothes off of her and have sex with her before she gets married, she thinks, oh, I found the good one. I thought I had found the good one. And I wasn't naive. I just thought I had found the good one. I just didn't realize I had found the gay one. Didn't know it. So you can call it being naive, or you can just call it – some of these men are actually very good at manipulation to get what they want, too.
Excellent.
They're very good at it. And because
they're very good
at
lying because their whole life has been a lie. So for them to lie to us takes no effort at all. They're living a lie every day of their life by pretending to be straight, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, men are just good manipulators, and women are good manipulators, too, in their own sense, in their own way. Obviously, that's a different radio show completely, but straight men manipulate women every single day, and we believe them. So, but yes, if they have grown up hiding who they are, pretending that they're something, they get very good at it after a while. And if they are hell-bent on keeping that secret to themselves, which many of them are because they feel shame, they don't want to be that guy, they would love to wake up tomorrow and be a heterosexual guy, but they're not. But if they have a lot at stake in staying in the closet, they become very, very good at the manipulation. And they're going for women that will believe that manipulation. So for women getting out of these marriages, they do have to look at themselves, whether it's right or wrong, that doesn't even matter. In fact, they need to look at themselves saying, why do I think I was a target of that man? What is it about me that made me look or appear to be manipulatable? What is it about me? And of course, when I look back at myself, it was because I had so many cheat on me, lie on me, manipulate me in other ways that I wanted a guy that wasn't like that. And whether that my gay ex-husband saw that, I don't know. He wasn't talking. So I really don't know that. What I will say is that
But unfortunately,
sure.
We spent a whole radio show not discussing why you were coming here, because I've diverted you from everything. I apologize.
Our time is up, so
I need a commitment that you'll come back in a couple of weeks, and we can talk about what wanted to talk about, the healing process. Would that be okay?
Yeah, and we'll definitely do that, because that's the most important for anybody who's listening, is how do you heal? How do you move forward? You know, we talk about how do we get there, but once we're there and we know it, how do we get out of it? And that's vital. That's the most important part.
Yeah, it really is. And I apologize that, you know, I really went totally off with you. But, you know, you're so interesting. I just love listening to you. So I'm going to ask Susan to come back in 2 weeks. Yeah, so maybe 2 weeks from today we can do this again, and you'll go through the whole healing process. This will be great. So to all our listeners,
I know
you're going to be like me. You just love to listen to Susan. You can catch her back shows. They're on the Blog Talk Radio with Susan on there. She always has the most words of wisdom to give to people, and that's why I love having her on the show. She's such a stimulating guest who really has such good insight. So, Susan, I'm really excited to tell you it looks like we're going to be having a healing weekend in the spring.
Oh,
and we'll talk more about that when you come back on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
I think even Dr. Feelstad is going to join us this time, too.
Yes, that would be absolutely fantastic to do. And, of course, I will definitely be there. But, yes, so I'll be back on again, and I'll kind of go through the steps because I did a lot
That's
of
wonderful.
Work for a decade. And I've done the work, and I can tell you right now, just leave the show with this, as I have probably I am more content in my life now than I've ever been in my life. But I had to do
That's
the work.
That's wonderful.
It didn't just
All right, so we'll go
through
that in 2 weeks from today, okay?
You got it.
All right, everybody. Love to all our women, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with Susan again. All right, Susan, I love you. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.